Ectopic pregnancy means the pregnancy is not growing in its normal location inside the uterus. Instead, it is growing elsewhere. 97% of the time, the ectopic pregnancy is located in the fallopian tube, in other words, a tubal ectopic pregnancy, and the rest of the time, it's found in the ovary, abdomen, cervix, or other nearby structures. The incidence of ectopic pregnancy varies with the population, but is about 1 in every 100 pregnancies. The incidence is higher among women with previous tubal disease, previous tubal surgery, previous ectopic pregnancy, assisted reproduction, and current IUD users. Many very early ectopic pregnancies resolve spontaneously, so if you aggressively search for them early in pregnancy, you will find more of them. There are certain types of ectopic pregnancy that carry special significance. Some of these are implantation in the distal half of the fallopian tube. This represents the vast majority of all ectopics and is the type most likely to resolve spontaneously through a so-called tubal abortion. The closer the ectopic is to the fimbriated end, the more likely it will be to outgrow its blood supply and be expelled out the end of the tube. A second type is an isthmic ectopic pregnancy. The isthmus is the narrowest portion of the tube. It is the least distensible, and ectopics that grow here are more likely to rupture and to rupture early in the course of the pregnancy. The third type of special interest are the corneal ectopic pregnancies. These ectopics grow in the portion of the tube that passes through the uterine cornua. These tend to rupture early and violently with massive abdominal hemorrhage. Many of the fatalities due to ectopic pregnancy are from corneal pregnancies. For women without rupture, there may be no symptoms other than the usual symptoms of pregnancy, in other words, fatigue, breast tenderness, and lack of periods. With rupture and intra-abdominal bleeding, the following symptoms may be seen depending on the extent of the bleeding. First is vaginal bleeding. The important thing to remember about vaginal bleeding during the first trimester is that this is not normal. The cause may be trivial or it may be serious, but it is always abnormal. Bleeding during the first trimester is common. At least 1/3 of all pregnant women will experience some degree of bleeding, perhaps only light spotting, during this time. Half of those will ultimately lose the pregnancy, while the other half will continue their pregnancy normally and without any further problems. Clinical evaluation of women with first trimester bleeding involves looking for evidence of inevitable abortion, incomplete abortion, ectopic pregnancy, gestational trophoblastic disease, and other miscellaneous causes for bleeding, including cervical and vaginal trauma, infection, and polyps. Depending on the clinical circumstances, you may wish to evaluate these patients with a history, a physical exam, and such laboratory tests as ultrasound, quantitative HCG, and progesterone. Other symptoms of ectopic pregnancy include abdominal pain. It can include right shoulder pain, which is due to blood irritating the undersurface of the right hemidiaphragm, stimulating the phrenic nerve and causing referred pain. There may be urge to defecate. There may be dizziness and fainting. As far as physical findings go, in the case of unruptured ectopic pregnancies in the fallopian tube, there may be no unusual physical findings. The uterus can be enlarged appropriately, no masses found, and no tenderness in the pelvis. Some patients, however, may show some of these findings. Some may have a pelvic mass, either from the enlarged ectopic or from the corpus luteum cyst that accompanies many early pregnancies of all types. There may be pelvic tenderness, localized or generalized. There may be abdominal distension. In more advanced stages, there may be hypotension, tachycardia, or tachypnea. As far as laboratory tests go, the pregnancy test will always be positive. Serial quantitative HCG levels often are low, and they do not show the normal doubling every 2 days. However, some of them, about 10 to 15%, some of these ectopic pregnancies do show a normal rise, and some normal pregnancies, also about 10 to 15%, don't show the normal doubling rate. Progesterone levels are sometimes very low, less than 5. Levels greater than 25 are usually seen with normal intrauterine pregnancies, but this is a generalization. Ultrasound. As the resolution of ultrasound has improved over the years, so has its ability to find ectopic pregnancies. It still remains true, though, that ultrasound is at its best in defining the presence of normal intrauterine pregnancies. Some of the criteria we use for defining an ectopic pregnancy with ultrasound include visualization of a gestational sac, fetal pole, and fetal heartbeat outside of the uterus. This is an uncommon finding with ectopic pregnancies. We may identify the absence of an identifiable intrauterine pregnancy when the quantitative HCG suggests it should be visible. The discriminatory zone is the level of HCG above which a normal intrauterine pregnancy is normally seen. The discriminatory zone varies from setting to setting and depends on both the skills of the operator, the resolution of the equipment, and the imaging technique, abdominal versus vaginal. Discriminatory zones range from about 1,000 to 2,000 or more units of HCG depending on the clinical setting. Free fluid may be seen by ultrasound if there is any significant internal bleeding. Ultrasound can be misleading at times. Occasionally, intrauterine pregnancies, or so-called intrauterine pregnancies, are identified that are in fact ectopic pregnancies with sufficient inflammatory reaction and bleeding around them to make it appear that they are surrounded by normal uterine muscle. In some other cases, an intrauterine pregnancy is identified that is in fact a gestational pseudosac within the uterus. This pseudosac is a response by the endometrium to the hormones of pregnancy and can mimic the appearance of an intrauterine pregnancy. Cultocentesis is a technique that may be performed to gain additional information. A needle is inserted through the vaginal wall into the posterior cul-de-sac. You may get a dry tap. That result is inconclusive. You may find a few cc's of clear fluid. This will be peritoneal fluid, and that rules out a ruptured ectopic, but neither rules out nor rules in an unruptured ectopic. If you obtain slightly bloody fluid with a hematocrit of less than 15, that's inconclusive. This could be from a traumatic tap or an early mild bleeding from an ectopic. You may obtain moderately bloody fluid with a hematocrit greater than 15. That would indicate hemoperitoneum consistent with a ruptured ectopic, but this is nonspecific, and any internal bleeding, including bleeding from a hemorrhagic ovarian cyst, can give this result. You may obtain bright red clotting blood, and that usually indicates a traumatic tap or aspiration of blood from a blood vessel. DNC, or dilatation curettage, is sometimes done in the presence of a clearly abnormal HCG pattern, combined with abnormal ultrasound findings, to confirm or rule out ectopic pregnancy. If the DNC specimen shows chorionic villi, then the pregnancy was intrauterine. If no chorionic villi are found, then ectopic pregnancy is often presumed to be present. Laparoscopy is a very effective method to diagnose ectopic pregnancy. Unfortunately, it is invasive, carrying its own risks, and may miss early ectopic pregnancies that have not grown large enough to be appreciated by the operator. When ectopic pregnancies are found with laparoscopy, it is often possible to remove them surgically at the same time. An incision is made over the anti-mesenteric border of the tube and the ectopic is teased out. This can be facilitated by the injection of Petrescin into the tube, causing the muscularis layer to contract, expelling the ectopic and controlling the bleeding. Bleeding usually either stops or is controlled with judicious use of cautery. The ectopic can also simply be surgically removed through a salpingectomy. Not all cases of ectopic pregnancy lend themselves to laparoscopic surgery. The larger the ectopic, the more difficult and the more dangerous is laparoscopic surgery. Corneal and some isthmic ectopic pregnancies usually will need laparotomy to effectively control bleeding from the uterine side. At times, laparotomy is the best choice for dealing with an ectopic pregnancy, particularly if the patient is bleeding heavily or is clinically unstable. In these cases, the priority is stopping the blood loss. The fastest and simplest way to do that is to clamp across the blood supply of the ectopic, remove it, and sew up the cut edges. This is known as a salpingectomy or partial salpingectomy, depending on the extent of the removal. In the past, great effort was made and considerable risk taken to preserve childbearing potential by conserving and repairing the fallopian tube. Given the advanced state of assisted reproductive technology, such risks are only infrequently warranted today. The long-term natural fertility of a woman experiencing an ectopic pregnancy is about the same, about 50-50, whether you remove the entire affected tube or you try to repair it. In the event of subsequent infertility, egg retrieval, in vitro fertilization, and embryo transfer can usually leapfrog over the need for functional fallopian tubes, so immediate surgical safety and speedy recovery are usually the priorities. Medical management consists of methotrexate. Methotrexate is a folate antagonist that was originally used to treat trophoblastic disease, and it can be an effective treatment for ectopic pregnancy. A number of laboratory tests should be done, including CBC, platelets, liver function tests, and a renal panel. Methotrexate is then given in a single injection, and the quantitative HCG levels are measured on day number 4 and 7. We expect HCG levels to fall greater than 15% from day number 4 to day number 7. If HCG levels don't fall more than 15%, then we typically give a second dose of methotrexate. At least half of these patients will have significant abdominal pain, but the treatment will be successful in about 90% of cases in resolving the ectopic pregnancy without resorting to surgery. Some of these patients will still need surgery, either because of persistent or severe pain, hemorrhage, or failure of the HCG to resolve completely. Recovery following this technique may require up to several months. Not everyone with an ectopic pregnancy is a good candidate for this treatment. It works best when the patient is compliant, when the patient prefers to avoid surgery, but with the possibility of even longer recovery from the medical treatment. It works best when there is a desire for future childbearing, when the patient is hemodynamically stable, the ectopic pregnancy is less than 3.5 centimeters in diameter, there is no observable fetal cardiac activity, there's no evidence of rupture, HCG levels are less than 15,000, and there is no hepatic, renal, white blood count, or platelet dysfunction. Not all cases of ectopic pregnancy require surgical or medical treatment. For many ectopic pregnancies, their natural history will be to stop growing, detach, and be expelled out the end of the fallopian tube, clinically disappearing. Expectant management seems to work best when there is a plateau or falling levels of HCG, and the initial HCG is less than 1,000 in asymptomatic women. In these cases, successful spontaneous resolution can be expected in between 75 to 90% of cases. Some of these will ultimately require methotrexate or surgery to resolve. Expectant management can be considered in other cases, but the success rate will be less. The overall successful resolution without surgery or methotrexate for ectopic pregnancies managed expectantly with an initial HCG of less than 2,000 is about 60%. Subsequent fertility has been shown to be about the same, regardless of whether the ectopic is managed expectantly with methotrexate or surgically. Follow-up is important, though. It is very important that no viable trophoblastic tissue remain following treatment for ectopic pregnancy. For this reason, follow-up HCG levels are often drawn serially to demonstrate complete resolution of the ectopic. Rh sensitization can occur following ectopic pregnancy treatment, and Rh immune globulin is administered to Rh-negative women to prevent such an event.